Thank you, Ms. Tiberi. What a blessing, amen. And talk about something that's been making a difference. New Life Orphanages has been making a difference for a very long time. And couldn't wait to try to schedule a time to have tonight what we're going to just kind of be presenting. It's not something brand new, but one of the blessings, not only about Landmark itself and about so many ministries, it's continuing, amen. It's continuing something that we've been doing since Jesus set us forth in doing the work of God, the Great Commission. And so I've asked Dr. Terry Donahue, amen. I don't always introduce him that way, but you come tonight very familiar to us. But I asked him to introduce our speaker tonight. And I'll ask you guys, go ahead and run the screen down for us, if you would, before he begins talking. Go ahead. Yeah, thank you. That way it's not distracting.
Wow. This is a kind of a service that I didn't look forward to, I'll be honest with you, because there's a change in my life. Back when I was 55 years old, Brother Carter talked to me at a meeting, and he said, Terry, you've already had a heart attack. You already have an orphanage started in Burma. Take that orphanage and do what you can with it, and go easy, he said. Well, he didn't realize that going easy meant 29 hours of flying one way and then turn around and coming back. He didn't realize that going easy was such a great need within that country that we went from the one orphanage to 14 orphanages. And we built churches, and God just blessed. And then I realized, Linda and I are not kids any longer, and I'm 83, and she's 16. But that's how I see her anyway. You know, we were childhood sweethearts, you know, high school sweethearts. And but anyway, the time has come that we need to take a back seat. One of my preacher friends preached a sermon called Resigned. And as he was preaching, he realized he didn't want to leave, so he said, I'm resigning. He totally changed the words around. But I'm not resigning. I'm going to stand with my grandson. We prayed for someone to step into our ministry. And I've had a few people talk to me about it and share with me what they felt they could do. But God had someone for us, for our work, for our ministry. And he wasn't even born when we started. And now he's married with children. He's been serving God. He's been committed to missions. His brother is one of our missionaries in Ecuador. And I don't want to steal his thunders. I'll let him tell you his history. But we had a committee, a group of people that know us the best, and we asked them to find somebody who they felt and would figure there'd be four or five different people, and then we would go from there. And every single one of them said Stuart. They said Stuart. Now, he didn't know it at the time. So we came to visit, and I sort of smuggled him over to Haines City, and we talked, and we realized how much we were in line. That, you know, I don't get a salary, and haven't got a salary in ever, that I can remember of anyway. I live on Social Security, and I'm happy with that. Stuart has businesses, and his church, nobody gets a salary. You know, they work for the Lord, and there's no such thing as income. You trust God, and God supplies and provides, and it's amazing. So people go out and become bivocational, I guess. But now, I don't know too much about that, but I do know about him. And he's committed. He's married. I was at his wedding over in Tampa. His wife comes from Florida. That's another plus, you know. Her name is Katia. And he can spell it for you. And he has two children. He'll explain that to you. But because of all of this, Linda and I are going to be able to have more time together that we haven't had for many, many years. It's been work, going here, preaching here, and begging here, and I beg all over the country, it seems like, to make sure that we have what we need. But now I'm at the point where Stuart has prayed about it, and this wasn't something simple. I said, go to your pastor, talk to your pastor, talk to your family, and then make your decision, especially your wife. And he prayed about it, and weeks later, he contacted me and said, I'm ready. His pastor was behind it. My pastor was behind it. And just, it's something that God has done. So you say, well, this is a whole different ballgame. This is a ministry that's thriving. It's not, we're not on the way out. I got an email from a church yesterday, and they told me we're celebrating our 28th anniversary. 28th, I thought it was yesterday, it seems like. And when I met these people, they were trying to have services in a tin shack, like a garage made of tin. And it broke my heart to see this man, and he had five little children, orphans. And I said to him, we got to get something for you. And I rented a house. And then we found out the house next door is for rent. We both rented both of them, one for boys, one for girls. Today, they have a ministry with 70, 80 children in their orphanage, plus a church, plus church services. And God has intervened with them, but 28 years ago, I was just a kid. 55, I could move into the village. I could go to Senior Patriots, you know? We're blessed, and we're going to show a video and then have Stuart come. And I love this guy. He's blood of my blood, you know, to begin with. And I'm excited to what God is doing and what God is going to do in the future at New Life Orphanages. Hello? Okay. Thank you.
first off, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here. What a blessing it is. When Grandpa said he's going to take a back seat, I don't want him to do that, you know. When you're learning to drive, your parents are sitting next to you. When you do something wrong, they hit the dashboard, you know, they hold their hand across. I want my grandpa in the passenger seat right now, guiding me, directing me, saying, hey, whoa, hold up. You know, this is why we're doing this. So I don't want him in the back seat yet. But thank you for having me here. Thank you, Pastor, for having me here. It's a blessing. I think it was last January I came down here to visit my in-laws over in Tampa area. And my grandfather, we swung over to the, I think it was a New Year's party over at one of my aunt's house. And Grandpa was sitting on the back porch by himself. I said, you know what, I'm going to go talk to Grandpa. So I went out there sitting with him for a while and started talking to him about different things. And the orphanage came up and New Life came up. And I said, hey, if you ever want me to go on a trip with you, let me know. He said, all right. I feel like I've asked him that in the past before. And it was kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. But this time he's like, let's go, man. I'm going in January. I said, well, I can't go January. I got school and stuff I got to be teaching and so on. And then he said, I'm going again in May. I said, I can make that happen. So I went over there for like 16 days. He was over there longer. Actually, we were about the same time. And I've heard about this ministry my whole life. They say there's orphanages and there's schools. Over here in our mindset, we're like, oh, yeah, there's schools, there are orphanages. That's cool. You know, people are getting saved. When you go over there and you see what's actually over there, it blew my mind. I'm expecting an orphanage, yet at this orphanage, there's 20-plus kids there. Then on Sunday, they have people from all around the surrounding area come in and they preach the gospel. They tell them how to be saved. And then we see churches that are being started from these works. There's Bible institutes, and there's Bible students that are going and starting churches and being able to go there and see the church. I'm like, oh, this is a cool place. And they're like, oh, we sent this guy here from Seahooks Church, you know, and he started this church. We built this building, and the work that's over there is incredible. I wasn't expecting churches like they are over there. And they're hungry. They're wanting to hear more. They're wanting to learn. They're eager. And I hope that I can be a blessing in this ministry to those people and making trips over there and guiding, directing, whatever I can do to be a blessing in this ministry. My grandfather is a great mentor. You can open your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 12. It's just incredible to be able to stand here and talk to you guys. And my grandfather's kind of a quiet person. And over the years, you get little story bits out of him. And he's humble is what he is. He doesn't want to talk about what he's done. But it's the Lord through him. And it's incredible what the Lord's been able to do through him. If you open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 7. It says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which has accursed them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'm going to talk a little bit today about a testimony. And I was thinking about a testimony and how it influences us and how it can be a great tool. When you think of a testimony, who here was the first person in your family to get saved? Is there anybody here that was your first time? You were the first one in your family to get saved. I know my grandfather was and many others. What happens is that person gets saved in that family, and automatically everybody looks at them and says, what a weirdo. They're now a Jesus freak, or they're this, or they're a that. And what happens is they get to see that person. They get to see their lives change. They get to see them throw away the alcohol, throw away the smoking, or getting a whole new life in Christ. And they get to see that change in their life. And if we take my grandfather as that, he was the first one born in, or saved in his family. And we see that now he has eight children and 60-plus grandchildren, and that testimony has been an influence in other people's lives. And we see our testimony is very powerful. And in this Bible verse here, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." We see these people, they said, you know what, the devil is very strong. He's the prince of the earth, prince of the air. The devil is a very powerful human, or very powerful person on this earth. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I can handle it. You know, the devil attacks Christians too. He attacks everybody. And you know what, sometimes when we come at these people that are being attacked by the devil, say, hey, you know, the Bible says this, and they look at us like, oh, they're a Bible person. The Bible is a great tool. But sometimes look at theology, you know, this religion, that. You know what can break through that? Our testimony. I love hearing stories. You know, there's different stories that we tell. Some people are really good at telling stories. Some people are not great at telling stories. But I'm not a great storyteller. But you know what? When you start telling a story and it's intriguing and people listen, and when you tell a story about yourself, you start putting yourself in that story, you humanize that story a little bit, people start to listen. So someone that would say, I would never listen to somebody that is preaching the Bible, he said, hey, let me tell you, my family members, you don't want me to open my Bible and read a Bible verse, but let me tell you a story about myself. I was a sinner, and I realized that there was nothing that I could do to get myself to heaven, man, and I was doing this and that, and God, and you start quoting some verses in your testimony, you start getting the gospel, and you know what happens? That testimony is powerful. Someone that would never walk in these doors would listen to somebody's testimony and get saved. You know, our testimony is very powerful because it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Our testimony about salvation is laced with the blood of the Lamb. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that's part of our testimony. And we get to share that with others, and that's my challenge for you today. But the Bible foundation is our testimony, the power of it. Flip through my notes here. Our families, we can be a testimony in our families, reaching those that are closest to us and those that are around us, which I mentioned that. But also, not just our families. We can influence those around us. We can influence our neighbors. We can influence the people at the store that we visit, the Starbucks that we get to often. Whatever it might be, our testimonies can be a light in this world. My challenge to you is like, hey, when was the last time I told my testimony? There I was. I grew up in church. I was a Christian person. You know, I was born and raised in a Baptist church, and I've been there ever since. But you know what? That doesn't get me to heaven. I gave in the offering. I even gave a faith promise pledge. That didn't get me to heaven. You know, I grew up thinking I was all that. I grew up through Sunday school. I knew all the Bible verses. I knew all the stories. I could answer the questions. I could get the candy. I could win the Hawkeye seat prize. I could do all that. But without God, I couldn't get to heaven. And it took me till I was 14. I was at a camp, and a preacher started preaching on hell. He said, hey, if you're not saved, you're going to die and you're going to go to a place called hell. I was like, okay, I've heard this before. I knew I wasn't saved. The next night, he preaches on hell. If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Two nights in a row, he preached on hell, you know, and it was convicting both times. And the second time, I couldn't take it anymore. I walked out, I said, found my youth pastor, which was my uncle at the time. I said, hey, I'm not saved. I know it. I've been faking it my whole life. And then he showed me some Bible verses. He said, you could show me how to get saved. It's like, you know what to do. I said, I do. So we got down on my knees right there. There was a school bus right there behind the school bus. And I got down on my knees and I said, God, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to get my way to heaven. I've come into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross. And he came to my heart and he saved me that day. And ever since then, without a doubt, I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And that's a story that I could tell to somebody that wouldn't want to listen to the Bible. That's a story that I could present to somebody, and they could hear the gospel, and they could get saved. So our testimony is very powerful. And not just our salvation testimony, but also our testimony about a Christian life. You can share that with your fellow Christian friends and say, hey, I've experienced that before. You know, I had a hardship in my life. I'll continue with my story. I grew up, I was homeschooled. I went to Bible college at Capital City Baptist College, and I graduated there 2022, I believe. And I met my wife there. Her name is Katja. It's K-A-T-J-A, if you're wondering. But I met her there. And 2 weeks after Bible college, I got married right here in Florida in Tampa area, Riverview. And I met my wife there, got married. And now we have two kids. My first one's two. His name is Gideon. And he's a handful right now, running around. If he always had a bonk on his head, you know, a bruise or something, he always run into something. Then our newest one, she'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. Her name is Lois. And all went well. You know, the baby is looking good. She's healthy. Mom's doing good and everything. And we're just serving there at Capital City Baptist Church. We work in different ministries. I'm teaching the school. I do the Sunday school in the morning every other week on Sunday. And work in the teen ministry on Fridays. Whatever it might be, I'm there to help out with whatever. But that's my testimony. I'm just sharing that with you a little bit so you know me. And it's a blessing to be part of a church that wants you to be a part of it. You know, and you can be a part of it and they want you there. And I can share that with other Christian members and say, hey, you know, I was in Bible college too. I know what it's like to be poor. Let me get this sandwich for you. Or let me buy this meal for you. You know, your testimony, you can share that with the other college students. You say, hey, I've been where you are, broke, looking for a job. You need something, you know, stick in there. You stay faithful. You'll get through it. You know, someone will come along, help you out. You toss them a couple bucks. We can be our testimony can spread throughout a church too. It's not just a salvation thing. Salvation is very important, but it can also be a church thing. Sorry about this. My challenge to you is, when was the last time you shared your testimony? I just shared mine with you. That was a quick 30-second, two-minute one. If you think back in your mind, when was the last time I shared my testimony with somebody else? If you were to say, hey, my best friend's right here, does he know your salvation testimony? Have you shared it with somebody so you can actually, you know, if you don't tell a story often, sometimes you might forget details. Now, you might not forget your salvation testimony. I hope you don't. But the details you might forget. But you know, when you're continually sharing something, you get good at it. And repetitive, it's great. And so when we're constantly sharing our testimony, my go-to thing when I'm witnessing to somebody is, let me tell you what God did in my life. That's my favorite thing. It gets me right into the gospel. They listen. They pay attention. That's what I like to do. But I like to share my testimony with anybody. When I'm at working out a job and I have a roofing crew there and I'm trying to do a job and they're there, and I'm able to talk to them and say, hey, you know, let me tell you about what happened to me. I'm able to share my testimony with them. Now, some people have got saved. Some people have come to church. Some people haven't. They've just rejected me. That happens, you know. But I was getting a septic tank pumped out, and the guy showed up, and I said, hey, let me tell you about this. And he said, oh, man, I'm a Christian. So we start talking. He's a Christian, but he's not saved. I invited him to church. He was very friendly. He still has not come to church yet. But if I call him, he's like, oh, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to church one of these days. You know, he's friend. Then my painter, I reach out to him, and he's come to church. He's made a profession of faith before. But he comes to the Spanish church. He's reaching out to me. He's like, hey, my son, he needs to be involved in church. You know, he needs Jesus in his life. I'm like, bring him on. We got Sunday school lessons with the teenagers. But different people that you can reach out in your area of influence. That is your area of influence. I can't witness to somebody that is at your job, unless that was a very weird circumstance. You know, I don't know everybody in your group of people. I don't know everybody in my group of people. Oh, I know everybody in my group of people. But our job is to share the light with those around us, to share the light. Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. We give all the honor and the glory to the Father which is in heaven. And with this ministry taken over my grandfather, I want to give all the honor and the glory to God. You know, for anything that goes on, I don't want to take any of that credit. And I want to be the director of that the Lord wants me to be. I don't want to be somebody that's just there to take a picture, make it look nice, and collect money, send it over there. No, I want to see lives changed. I want to see Cambodia reached with the gospel, not just those people that are there, not just the people in the orphanages, but those that the orphanages are reaching out to, those churches, those surrounding areas. And I want to work with these churches and grow and reach out to other churches and start new churches and plants and under the guidance of pastors and stuff. I want to do anything I can to further that ministry and for the work of the Lord. Preacher.
This that he mentioned in the scripture, one of the last verses he read, talked about how the devil realizes he has but just a short time. And I think many of us as Christians, we forget just how short time is. And I know it's talking about the devil and how short a time he has to try to draw souls away and to hell. But folks, we have a short time to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about testimonies. And I think I've never seen it that way before, but how many of those young people we see when we talk about orphans, we talk about raising them up and helping them, and we think about their dire need physically. But in truth, we're raising up testimonies that'll go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He sent me somebody who fed me and clothed me and taught me the word of God, and I was raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He didn't just give me parents, he gave me a missionary. He gave me people who sent money so that I could be taken care of. Folks, I'm telling you, that's not just going to be a testimony that's shared with us in heaven. That's a lot of times what we talk about, but think about how many times they will share that testimony if the Lord allows them to grow up and to go out into the world and to tell everybody. Not all of them have to be preachers. All of them will be what raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, be a Christian, and just share their testimony with people around them. Folks, we don't need just folks around the world giving their testimony, but we need people right here. And when we talk about taking tracts and sharing the gospel, we need to share our testimony. The Apostle Paul, I don't think I hardly ever read in the scripture when he had an opportunity to share the gospel, he always came from his testimony. Let me tell you what happened to me. Now, you don't have to have a Damascus Road, bright light, shining, knockdown testimony. You can have one where you said, God's as good as his word. I called upon his name, and he did just what he would say. He gave me eternal life that he purchased for me on Calvary. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as your Savior, we could take the Bible and share with you how you can put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, let me encourage you tonight. Share your testimony this week. Be a missionary right here to folks in your own lives. And then let's pray about how God wants us to support the testimonies that are going around the world of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. The musicians are going to come. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, I invite you. This is an invitation. We invite you to make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. If you're a Christian tonight, and maybe your witness hasn't been what it used to be, I invite you to come down and spend time with God and ask him to help you, give you boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ like you used to. Maybe he'd give you boldness to begin your witness and sharing your testimony with others. I'm not sure what it is that God wants you to do tonight, but be honest with yourself and do what God has been drawing you to do tonight. Let's pray together at the beginning of the invitation. God, I pray that you'd help folks to do exactly what you've asked them to do. Holy Spirit of God, help us to step out boldly, Lord, and to be the testimony that we ought to be. But Lord, help us to share that testimony with a lost and dying world. Lord, I give you the invitation. I pray that you would do what you'd have done tonight in the invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bert, would you say? Oh.